Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Today, another episode of Posh P Couch on Radio Africana. Today, the 27th of September, October rather, 2025. So yeah, my name is Shay John, and I'll be guiding us through this episode as usual. It's our second season. It's episode 3. Time has gone really fly, really quick. We started just a few months ago, and here we are today. And guess what? This program is growing. Because I was outside over the weekend, and I see people coming to me. Oh, you're doing a good job. I'm like, oh, you heard that? It's like, oh yeah, I've been listening to your show. And that makes me feel so good, because it's always good when you actually know that people actually buy into your vision. When you know that people actually getting something, and they had a lot of word of encouragement, which means I need to keep going. Like I always say, Posh P Couch is for the community. It's a safe space where we all just sit down and let it out. You know, we talk about everything and anything. You know, I remember we also have a segment where we do our rant of the day. So, if there's anything you want to rant about, don't forget to DM, send me a message. I'm live on TikTok also, so you can also drop your message. Right. Today, it's a special day. Because the topic today, it's very controversial, people will say. And why is that? Because I'm a Christian, and I was raised and born Christian, and I am a born again Christian. I can say that out loud, and I'm happy to say that. And also everybody also, I'm sure they are happy to say they have their own religion. So today we want to speak about religion and how it affects us, you know, mentally. Because like I used to say, everything in life, we need a balance. So, and one thing also today that I want to say is, we all know we are celebrating the Black History Month. Right. So what I've done with this today's episode is try to intertwine religion into the Black History Month. Because there's no way we will talk about religion without Black history without talking about religion. We all know we had a religion in Africa, or Black people had something religion they are practicing before we were introduced to other kind of religion.
That's right.
And this religion that was introduced has shaped us. We've grown into it. We've gone through a lot. Our forefathers, our ancestors, this same religion has caused them a lot of trauma. It has also helped them to shape them to what we are today. So we're trying to see the balance of the pros and the cons of religion. And who is best to help me today on this show? So I brought you guys a pastor, because I believe with his own experience as human, remember we are human before God called us. So his experience as a person, even before he became a pastor, his experience on religion as a Christian also. So he's going to talk us through how he has navigated it and how we can navigate it so we can have a balance of life. Like I always say, you know, I'm an advocate for therapy. And I feel like there's a place for therapy in the church, in the mosque, in anywhere, because this is a two different thing. So we're trying to see how we can blend things together so we can heal. Remember, a fully functioning man is the one that can actually carry out his assignment in life. If you are not mentally stable, mentally sound, there's no way you'll be able to fulfill your purpose. So that is the why we are having this topic today. I hope you guys are excited, just like as I am. So, as usual, I'm going to do a first advert for today, which is we have AY Live Show on the 2nd of November in Manchester here. So if you want a ticket, you can contact me, or you can go on Eventbrite to get your tickets. Like I always say, happy life is a good life. Comedy is for us to laugh, and that is good for our mental health. So I will promote that if it's good, because I will be there and I want you to be there. So yeah, join me there on the 2nd of November. So I will play my first song, and when I'm back, we are going fully into this topic. And the first song today is actually Free Minds. And I want you to listen to the lyrics in that song, Free Mind by Thames, and I'll be back.
In my mind wouldn't leave me. I tried to get by, but I'm burning.
That you cannot fix. This is the peace that you cannot buy. Finding a way when you cannot see. Man with this system, he cannot pray. I need to find release. But behind my mind, it runs. All these thoughts I've traveled in. Fighting to give up my bed. Fighting to be on my lane. My mind running to the other side. When it's time to leave my life, then it tries to take me out.
Right. Welcome back. You know, this is a personalized program for you as a person. So that's why I always say, welcome you, you and you. No welcome hall. It's personal. So hello you there, and I'm back. So, like I said earlier, I have Pastor Creamy Johnson on the couch today. And hello, Pastor. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you.
It's good to see you. It's good to have you here.
Good to be here, Shay. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Please tell us, because I know you, but people at home don't know you much. Mm. And some people might know you. Actually, when I posted this with the flyer, I got people that called me like, oh, it's Pastor Creamy. I must listen today. So you actually have some fan base already. So tell us about you. Who is Pastor Creamy Johnson?
Right. I'm very, very privileged, and I'm humbled to bear the name Pastor. As much as it's an identity that most people kind of know me for, it's not where I started from.
Right.
Before I was Pastor Creamy, I was Barrister.
Right.
Creamy. So I am a lawyer by training. I still practice law from time to time.
That's beautiful.
And I am the husband of one wife.
Good to hear that.
And the father of lovely children. And
beautiful.
That's just what you know. I pastor a church called Numa, mm-hmm. Numa Global. It's expressions in Manchester, and we're about to start a new expression in Blackburn sometime in the future. We do have. I'm also the apostolic lead for the Transfiguration Network International. Was a network of people who are doing God's work but who need an apostolic direction. So all I give apostolic direction to them in that regard. So basically, I'm the guy that tells them, oh, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it. Oh, you're not doing this right.
Right.
This is not the right way to go about
like a
doing
guidance.
This. Yes. So I'm the apostolic lead of the Transfiguration Network of Churches. So yeah, that's what I do.
That's beautiful. I'm glad to hear all this. Can you see, we have someone who is quite knowledgeable in guidance, because that's actually what we need. Guidance is what we need. So like I said earlier, Pastor, we are celebrating the Black History Month.
Yeah.
And we're trying to see how religion has helped us or shaped us as Black people. You know, for our people, faith was a survival growing up.
Yeah.
Our grandmothers, grandfathers, they prayed us through poverty. They sang. You know, remember that song where they want at the river of Babylon.
There's
been a scar. There's been a lot of, I don't want to use the word manipulation, that's happened in the past that we've all gone through.
Yeah.
You know, and I think like there's some truth that were covered up. You know, like there's pros and cons in everything. So I'm gonna start my first question today, and I would say, when you think about the word healing, what does healing mean to you, both spiritually and emotionally?
So first of all, let's understand what healing is. Healing is the process of recovery.
That's right.
The process of getting something from a place of being damaged to a place of being well. So it's a process of gradually recovering until something comes back to being whole. And the reality of it is that when it comes to Black people and our experiences, it's a long journey. It's been a long journey and it's an ongoing journey. The unfortunate thing is we are in a vicious cycle.
That's right.
Where our own, shall I say, the hurt and the damage that has happened to us psychologically has been transferred down from mother to daughter, father to son. And that cycle tends to continue, even though we're trying to tell them, look, this cycle can end.
That's right.
This cycle can end.
I call it transference trauma.
Yes, I agree with that totally. So that trauma that's happened, and I want to say this because the reality of this kind of experience differs. There are quite a few of us who were born in the UK, who grew up in the UK, who don't know where we're from.
Absolutely.
And there are those of us who have come into the UK as immigrants. Whichever way it is, the reality differs from one person to the other.
That's right.
So the trauma changes, or it looks different from one perspective or the other. Whichever way it is, we are all bound by the color of our skin.
That's right.
Once you are dark skinned and you are going through that trauma, at the end of it all, one thing we know we have in common is the fact that we can all have this. We all have the same experience in the world that exists today.
Today.
Now, when we talk about healing, you can have a pain or an injury and not realize it. You may have an injury and not realize it until that particular part of your body is activated.
That's right. That's right.
You get what I mean? So quite a lot of Black people don't even realize that they're going through some kind of, you know, racist trauma until they find themselves
triggered.
When you find yourself in a situation where you are being segregated against, and then all of a sudden you realize that, wait a minute, what's going on here?
That's right.
And then that trauma kicks in. And it would seem it should be different for people who didn't grow up in a multi-ethnic or multi-racial environment, but it's not.
It's not.
We come and we all have to go through the same racist profiling because you're Black, so this, because you're Black and so that. And the problem we have with all this is that at the end of it all, it does affect us in a very negative way. And healing for me is being able to navigate this trauma and come out at the other side.
That's right.
Better than when you went in.
Wow. That's beautiful. I that's actually a deep one, because healing is, because we all have to go through that healing process, and it's not easy. And until you acknowledge it, you cannot start to heal. 100%. So we need to acknowledge first. Right. So that will take me to my next question. Which is, right, so when we're talking about healing, because now we're talking about religion, why do you think mental health has been such a quiet topic in the church or in religion as a whole?
Well, if I'm going to specifically talk about the church to start, and I'll start from my own experience and I'm going to go to the wider religious experience.
Yeah.
The church in itself has the mandate. The Bible made us to understand that Jesus came, right? It said to heal the sick, right? And it says that he will heal our hearts.
That's right.
Now, if broken your heart. Yes, to heal the broken hearted.
Yes.
That in itself is the reference to mental health.
Absolutely.
Right there in the religion. So if your church is not working hard, or if your religious organization is not allowing you to align your broken heart to get healed, you might have to take a moment to just reassess, you know, the environment you're in, because as a religious environment is supposed to heal the broken hearted. So if your heart is broken, the one place you need to find is the church or the religious environment. And I dare say this, that sometimes some of us don't allow ourselves the process of healing. We don't allow the healing process to work. We are so carried away by who we are and that's what we've been through that when we come in, we don't trust the process.
Yeah, I agree on that one.
We don't trust the process. So indeed, the church does have space for healing. And let me put this out there very quickly, very, very quickly. People say, oh, there's church hurt. I come to church and I face this and I face that.
That's one of the questions I'll get to, definitely.
I want you to know this, right? The church is a laundry room. Everyone you see there is also going through their process.
That's right.
You need to understand that you need to be in church and realize that everyone is on their lane trying to get well. When you throw clothes into the laundry and you put in the detergent and you turn on the washer, right, it all gets mixed up together.
That's right.
So dirt from this one's gonna get into the other one and gonna get to the other one. At the end, they're all gonna come out clean.
Wow.
But at that point, so my hurt's gonna affect you. I'm going to affect you negatively. You're gonna feel my trauma.
I'm gonna feel yours too. We carry each other's burden.
Exactly. So if my issue is anger, guess what? I'm gonna express my anger, and you're gonna be like, oh, you know what? I don't like that church because there's the people there. If I have a problem and I talk about people, if that's my issue, and I come to church, you're gonna experience that. You're gonna be like, oh, you know what? He's always talking about people. He's always going da-da-da-da about people.
Well, maybe that's his own trauma.
That's his trauma. So you need to understand that the church is a laundry. Everyone who's there has some issue or the other. We're all just trying to get through it.
I love this. This is beautiful. And you know what? Personally, and I'm gonna make that question personal for you. Have you personally struggled with your own faith or emotional well-being?
Oh, come on, Shay. How can you ask me that right now?
Because we need to. This is reality, then.
Right.
We need to let people know that what we are talking about is real. Like as for you at home, that is for us here. And I would love you to share your own experience about that.
Okay. So I wasn't always a pastor, obviously. I was born into a Christian home, but I had my time where I was in the wilderness, and I did my time, I did my bid, you know, and came back into the church at some point in my life and went through the process of healing and getting myself back to where I felt. And first of all, let me put this out there. I might be a pastor, but I am in no way a perfect person.
Oh, absolutely not.
I am still a work in progress.
Yes.
So you might hang out with me and you will hear me say things that might probably disappoint you. Mm-hmm. Please just minister grace to me because I'm also like you, trying to get through the process.
Walking our salvation out with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm in the process of getting better. Mm. I might be further along than you are or than the next man is, but there are people who have achieved better than me.
Absolutely.
And so it is my process. And so having said that, I have had to deal with a lot of issues with myself in my process. I've had to deal with, in church, friends who I've had to deal with betrayals.
That is a big thing.
Yes, I've recently had to deal with an issue, a very personal matter that was so open and so out there, and I cried for months and months. Wow. You know, and it was a betrayal from someone who was my best friend for over 35 years. Wow. You know, we went through school together, everything, and I never believed somebody like that could do that, and we were in the same church, and that's the point. The point wasn't that he was my best friend for years. The point was that we're both in the same church. And he did that. So my point is, I've been through my process. Mm. And in that time, oh my God, I forgot that I was a pastor. I cursed. Mm. I was angry.
Because that's what makes you human.
Yes. I was ready to go out and do what I had to do to get back at him and all that. And I am glad that I had the word of God. Because if I didn't have the word of God, I'm very sure I would not be able to have this conversation the way I'm talking about it now. Right. The word of God helped me to navigate that particular situation.
Amen.
To navigate the hurts, to navigate the challenges, to be able to give forgiveness even when I felt that person doesn't deserve it. And so some time ago, I had to pick up my phone and my wife was like, What are you doing? Look, you might forgive them. You don't need to get in touch with them. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, you know, I agree with you, but I'm doing this for me.
For your own
sake. I'm not doing it for them.
I'm going to write.
So I sent a text message saying, you know what? I forgive you. Not because I wanted to, but I had
you
to.
You have to.
So I said, I forgive you. And then when I stopped, I went back to sleep. And I heard in my sleep that, okay, is that really what it's about? So I woke up again. I'm like, you know what? I went back and I said, please forgive me. Like, I had to do that because I realized
that's
that deep. Although I felt he hurt me.
Mm-hmm. He probably will feel it soon as
he probably
he has his own thoughts, yes, also.
Mm. I had to see it from his
perspective. Both ways.
That this guy probably feels that I am the one who is the person who's wrong as well. Wow. So that's, I had to ask him for forgiveness. And I was writing a text message, and you know, my tears were falling on the phone because I was crying. I'm like, I can't do this. And I had to be begging him for forgiveness. Wow. And it was very bad. But yeah, that's one of the things that I had to do.
I love that. Well, that's quite that's deep, because most of the time, when we feel hurt by someone, we don't think about the other person.
No.
We only think about ourselves, how we're feeling, how that person has done this to us.
Of course.
But one way or the other, we might have also wronged them.
Yeah, or even if you haven't.
Even if we haven't.
They perceive.
They have their own side of the view.
Exactly.
Because obviously, like I said, 6 and 9 looks the same. It depends on the
where
view.
You're standing from, yeah.
So they might be thinking, that person has done this to me also. So sometimes we need to, that's a good insight. Thank you for that. That's a good insight. We need to check on the other side and see, at least if it gives you clarity of mind.
Yeah.
If you know that you've done your own side and you've considered their own side also, then you can have peace. Because at the end of the day, peace is the most important thing. Because when you don't have
absolutely.
Wow. Right. I'm gonna ask one more question before I go on the short, because I think it's very tense right now. and this is a very simple one. Is there a place for praying and talking therapy in church? And in the community?
Praying and talking therapy. So this is what I think, right?
Because I feel like we grew up with the sense that just pray. Pray about it. Something's happening. Go to God. But I remember God calling himself a great counselor, which means he talks to people.
Counselor,
wonderful counselor, So I mean, open my eyes more to see that hango place.
So I want you to understand this, right? The Bible said he will give us a pastor after his own heart. Mm. And one of the duties of a pastor is to be a counselor.
Right.
And that's why people come in for counseling. But we must say this, and I say this not to impugn on any of my colleagues who are pastors or anything. But a lot of pastors have not navigated this counseling thing properly.
Absolutely.
Because you must be able to, the Bible said you must minister grace.
Mm.
To all men.
Mm.
So it means that when you are talking, you must be able to show grace. People should be able to come out of every conversation.
That's right.
On top,
feeling better.
Yes. So if and this happens in church. I grew up in a very traditional Nigerian African church, and one of the things the pastor did was, there's an assumption that you know what you're supposed to do.
Mm,
and when the pastor wants to scold you, just say, "Don't you know you're supposed to do that? Why are you doing that?" And you feel...
And you probably don't know.
Yes. So that is an assumption that most pastors have. And this cultural thing happens not only in black churches or anything. Mm. It happens across the world. In every religion, even in the mosques and everything.
Mm.
When you're a religious figure, the assumption is that these people are being trained at home. So you don't minister grace to the people. You need to minister grace to the people you are counseling.
Mm.
And so you must give time to talk. Now, one of the things I love about the Catholic Church,
right,
is that there's an opportunity for you to have a conversation with your priest.
Okay.
And to tell them, they call it confession.
Okay.
And you can tell your priest, I've done this. And the priest will tell you, okay, you need to have 7 Hail Marys and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that happens. Now, that came from a part of the Bible that says, confess your sins to one another.
That's right, right. That's right.
So you should be able to come and confess your sins, but not just the sins.
Mm.
If you have a burden,
yes.
If you have a burden and you come and say, "Pastor, this is the burden." The problem we have is we have become so spiritualized, and you're expecting the pastor to be a magician, to lay hands and say, "Whatever, pam," and then the problem is gone. And unfortunately, a lot of us pastors have presented ourselves like gods to the people. When the people come to us, we can't admit to them that, "Look,
I don't know this.
I don't know this one.
This is not my specialty.
I can't help you here. Oh, sorry, but let's just pray." Like, tell them, like, "My brother, sorry. Oh, this one, you know what? The only thing we can do is to pray. But I know someone who you can talk to, who will be of assistance." So therapy. Now, that's where therapy comes in. Christian therapy or religious therapy is very good. It's okay to speak to someone.
I think the judgmental part is what scares some people also, because I feel like we get judged a lot in church. I agree.
And just like I said, remember how we started, I said the church is a laundry. Even the pastor himself is going through the process of being laundered as well. He's being cleaned up. So he doesn't have it all figured together. And what he might have as his own idiosyncrasy might just be judgment. But if you come to me and you say something that you are battling with that goes against our religious beliefs, as a pastor, I'm struggling with this. And I know this goes against our religious beliefs, right? It's not my place to tell you, oh, you know what? The devil is upon you.
Condemnation.
And I'll condemn you. No. The Bible said that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set them free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? It means that if you come and you confess, right? And you say, this is what you are going through. I minister grace to you. And I said, look, you know what? Let's pray. Once you pray about it, I'll tell you, you know what? So what do you want to do? Do you want to let go of this thing? Or do you want to hold on to it? Because that is the decision there.
Yeah. And you have to make that decision yourself.
I can't make that decision up for you.
No.
And if you tell me, you know, I'm battling with this sin, but I still want to hold on to it. Tell you what? That's the end of the conversation right there, because that's the end of my purview. I can only just say, okay, let's pray. Father, help my brother in the name of Jesus. Amen. And finish. I can't do anything beyond that. But if you say, I want to let this go, how can I let this go?
Then
we can continue having a conversation.
That's right.
And you know, that brings me to this prayer that says, you know what that prayer that says, Lord, teach me to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things I cannot accept, and to know the difference. And to know the difference. So you need to know the difference of what you can change, what you cannot change, and what you should accept.
Wow, this is good. This is good. Wow, guys, I hope you guys are really, really enjoying this talk, because I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Thank you, Pastor Screamy. I'm blessed. Right, so I'm gonna go on a short break. And the song we're going to listen to is Godly by Omale. And when I'm back, we dive into the side two of this topic, religion. See you in a bit.
Mud!
Omale. Le boy na. News. Only God now, you know the kind of thing I do, the kind of thing we do. Man, I thank God, I godly. Say God no ungodly. Oluwa now comforting me when these people they come body me. Man, I thank God, I godly. Say God no ungodly. Oluwa now comforting me when these people they come body me. It's why I die sometimes. To any and eyes, na 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 na. Kulu mama, na na na. Take a leave this life, na na na. Any day we say little to me. Oh Omale, oh Omale. Make I play you my cassette. You. Anything you sell is a market. You. Try to they look from my aspect. You. They loud that my day and set you. Me and no fi drag the shine. Oluwa na in be my country down. Me and no they try to connect the light. I just want Charlie boy day. Me Charlie boy day. Me not thank God I got it. Say God no ungodly. Oluwa na in comforting me. When these people they come body me. And I thank God I got it. Say God no got it. Oluwa na in comforting me. When these people they come body me. It's why I die sometimes. The little Henny and Dice. Cafeti Kulu Mamai.
This is Manchester's Afrobeat station.
When I'm not with you, babe, ooh, your love keeps me warm. Unconditional, prisoner, number one. Yeah, yeah. Your love give me something I want. Yeah. Your one give me something to feel. Your one give me something that's real. So true love. At the end of the day, this is true. Trust, still I want more. True love. Hey, can I you be number one? Girl, I love the way you make the thing go round. Now me and you go there as the sun go on. Now me and you go there till the sun come up. Inside she control me. She dey tell me, baby, pussy, don't you fool me. Hot fuck every day, she dey consume me. Say she want it every day, we making movies. My baby with me, with me. Every day you with me, with me. See, every day we day with me, day with me. My baby, they complete me, complete me. Say, my baby know the juicy, da-da. Say, the love you, she give me, I know. Say, if I do time, she don't leave me, my love. Say, now the love you, she give me, I know. Say, now true love.
My days, when I'm not with you, babe. Something to feel. Your heart give me something that's real, so true.
Alright, welcome back, guys. Welcome back, you and you. Welcome back. Right, it's been a very good show so far. This talking is beautiful. And so far so good, a quick recap. We've actually navigated our history as black people and our religion has shaped us in good way and bad way. But then we're now trying to get better, and this is why we're now introducing way forward, why we can balance our religion and healing through therapy. And that is the topic we've been dealing with so far so good. So I've got a question from home, and I'm going to dive into that quickly before I go back to my question that I have for our guest. So the question here is, can church affect your relationship with God negatively? And the reason is that if you don't feel good about the church you are attending because you always feel judged due to past incidents, how can you continue to go to that kind of church?
Okay. First, let me start with the first question. Can church affect your relationship with God negatively? The first thing you must understand is, first of all, the church has two different definitions. There's the authentic definition of what the church is. The church is not the building.
No.
The church is not the name. The church is the people.
That's right.
Right. And like we have established, the church is a laundry of dirty people with different burdens and different kinds of things that's going on with them. Right. So can they affect the way you relate with God? Answer is yes.
Right.
People can influence the way you act. Psychologically, people can influence the way you grow. You are a culmination of your experiences. So if your experience is negative, you will naturally be negative.
That's right.
Now, let me put a check here. However, when you are in church, you should realize that the idea is not for you to come there because of the people. If you came there in the first place because of the people,
then you've got it wrong.
You've gotten it wrong. So that means if you came because of the people, you will leave because of
people.
Of the people.
That's right. That's
you need to go to church because of what you tend to gain from there.
Personal conviction.
Yes. So if you have a personal conviction about God and church, and you go there and you like the experience, but you don't like the people because you can see that, look, I'm getting something from here, but the people are my problem. Right? If you cannot develop a vault and isolate your mind, look for another church. Plain and simple. Look for another church. It's okay to keep going around churches until you find
it.
A perfect fit. Right? And a perfect fit
does not exist.
It doesn't.
Just to get it out there that if you don't make up your mind to stay somewhere, you are going to keep moving around for a long time. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's the reason why there's a proliferation of churches. Mm. Because people are bringing up, when I started church, when I started my own ministry, it used to be called the Imperfect Me Initiative.
Mm.
Because it was a church, and I said I was the pastor of drunkards, drinkers, and all sorts of bad guys. Mm. That was what I said. That was what it was like, pastor, church of drunkards, drinkers, and bad guys. That was the name we always said the church. And we were bringing people in, and people came to church, and we could talk, and it was okay. And people would literally be outside smoking, and be like, wait, what's going on, pastor? I'm going to come in. And they quench their cigarette, and then their weed, and come inside church. Wow, and we would have a conversation. Wow. And I could see some of these guys change as we progressed.
Mm.
Now, there are people that came to the church then and were like, is this one a church? Mm-hmm. And they stopped coming. And mm-hmm. I'm like, it's fine. It's not for you.
That's right.
It's for those people who, you know, mm-hmm. and we don't judge them. Mm. But the point is, if you keep coming, you will hear the truth.
That's right.
Now, can you handle
the truth?
Mm. Because the truth is a mirror. We're going to hold a mirror up to you so you can see yourself for what you really are. Mm. It's not judgment. Mm. It's you to see. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what it is. This is what your trauma is doing to you.
That's right.
So, can you change? Would you like to change? Mm-hmm. And if you can't handle that, then that's fine. And then issue of change of church.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into a church
because of past incident that's happened, so that person is feeling judged.
Yes. Yeah. First thing first, when you go into a church, and I know people say this, church is not a cult.
Mm-hmm.
You should feel free to walk away anytime.
Anytime.
However, you are expected, because it's a community, you're expected to, like, permit me to use the word clock in when you come in.
Mm.
So when you go into church, register your presence.
Right.
You know, find the aspect, the part of church that you fit in. Because if you keep coming to church and just come and walk away, on the day of your trouble, no one's going to know anything about you. You're going to go through a lot of troubles. I'm like, you know what? They don't care about me. No one even asked about me. Because no one knows you.
Mm.
You've got to be vulnerable enough to let people know you.
Mm. Speaking of vulnerable, can church? I don't want to see the way I can put this question so it can blend with what you're saying right now.
Mm.
Okay, so people that have been hurt in church,
yeah.
What will you tell them?
I'll tell anyone who's been hurt in church, right, to say, first of all, let me apologize on behalf of the church.
Okay.
We're really sorry that you had a very bad experience.
Mm.
And if you are out there and you've been hurt in church, or you've had a negative experience in church, I want you to know this, right? That the church is a laundry. Everyone, the people in church are there themselves to go through the process of healing. Nobody who is in church has it all figured out, including and especially the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a flawed man who has the privilege of leading the congregation. He doesn't have it all figured out. And so if you have been hurt by church, if that church that hurt you, right, can leave that church, find a new church, find a new church environment, find a new place, go somewhere else and start again. Don't allow the process, don't allow the issues of what you've been through before affect the way, you know, you relate in church.
Mm.
Let me give an instance. Posh, you're from Manchester, right?
Yeah,
right?
I live in Manchester.
Yeah. Like, imagine if I said I don't like people who are from Manchester because I had a bad experience with people from Manchester.
What am I doing here?
Then I go, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Then I go, you know what? I'm like, you're from Manchester. Oh, you know, I can't be asked about Manchester people.
Mm.
You get what I mean? But that's wrong because I'm generalizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just one experience.
That's right.
And I might just be unlucky enough to meet 10 people from Manchester who gave me the same experience.
Same experience.
Doesn't mean that
everybody
in Manchester is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to keep going until you find the perfect fit. And listen, they're conservative churches, they're expressive churches, they're they are churches that are chic. We have churches that are very unique. We have churches that are, you know, they're different kind of churches.
Yeah, there's different denominations.
You know, I'm trying not to speak Christianese, you know.
Okay, yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. So you can go into a church and you can have any kind of church. There are different kind of churches out there. Find the church that fits. Don't refuse to go to church. If you are out there saying, you know what, I'm done going to church because I had church hurt, I think that's a wrong approach to it.
Right.
You know? Beautiful. And if you have a pastor, listen, if you go to a church, one of the first things you need to do is find a way to have a conversation with the pastor. Now, there are big churches. We have loads of gigantic mega churches out there. They have what they call cell groups, cell fellowships, or life groups. Now, find a life group within that church. Get into the life group and have a conversation with your life group leader. Find, is it someone you can relate with? Does it go well with you? Is it your circle? Because you need to find your tribe. In church, you must find your tribe, right?
That's right.
And when you find them, you'll be fine.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me ask this question, because he's staying in church still, or religion. Yeah. Do you think there's a spiritual control over people in religion or in church?
So, let me understand your question very well.
Because I feel like some leaders try to place a certain control over the congregation, and they don't feel like they can come out of that.
Okay.
Like a manipulation.
So let me put a check here. Are there pastors and religious leaders who manipulate their sheep and their flock? Answer: yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because they are human.
Right.
And power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. So sometimes the human nature in them might come in.
And sorry to cut you off, one of the rants of the day that someone sent to me is my wife always listens to the pastor at the expense of the husband.
That woman, she needs to give her life to Christ again. Oh, sorry, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. No. If she was my member, right? And I told her, oh, you need to be in church on Wednesday. And she said, my husband said I shouldn't come. If she comes to church, I will be so upset and say, why?
Right.
Your marriage is more important than your relationship with this church, because that is your primary ministry.
Absolutely.
You need to go back home.
So I feel like a lot of people have lost that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean that I said it because we live in a world today where, you know, the gender roles are beginning to merge into themselves.
That's right.
But there is a place for what, you know, for a biblical description of who or how the home should be run. The Bible says, submit yourselves one to another.
Mm.
So if your spouse thinks this is a wrong idea, but you go ahead anyway, it's a form of abuse.
Right.
It's a form of abuse to ignore your spouse. Okay. So
I hope you guys can hear that clearly.
It's a form of abuse.
And I agree on that one.
To ignore your spouse.
That's right.
So it's a conversation. Have a conversation about it. Convince your spouse, you know, let's give it a try for a few months. Let's see how it goes. And let's see. If your spouse says, you know, I have a bad feeling about this. You know what? The Bible says that you must submit yourself. Don't do it. Don't go to a church your spouse doesn't want you to go to.
Great.
It's different if your spouse says, don't go to church at all.
That's different.
Now, that's a different
conversation.
Yes, that's a different conversation.
That's right.
If it's that, oh, you come to church when your spouse says don't, no, that's a wrong thing. So you need to have a conversation with your spouse and agree. And let's talk about the pastor's manipulation. If your spouse listens to your pastor more than you, there are two sides of the coin. The first thing is this. You must find out, at what point did you lose your spouse's attention? Because sometimes people talk about the pastor, but someone let the wolf in.
Who let the dog down?
Yeah, who let the dogs out? Yeah, someone left the chicken coop open, and now the fox has come in. So if your spouse, if there's air between you and your spouse, and a pastor came in, you need to readdress that in your marriage. Not leave the marriage. No. Go back and find a way to find synergy.
Go back to the foundation.
Yes. And find out what exactly broke down in my marriage that required my spouse to listen more to this person. And then if you're a spouse who does that, this is my word to you. Please repent. It's wrong. The pastor cannot have more control over you than your husband. It is absolutely wrong. You should not do that. And if you're a pastor and you are manipulating people, or no, I'm sorry, let me take that back.
Okay.
If you're a pastor and you are acting in a way that somehow ends up becoming manipulative, even though you don't know, please recognize it. Recognize when your influence is affecting the marriage of your members
or their lifestyle.
Yes. Don't allow the strength or the opportunity, the power that you have to begin to, if a member comes to church 7 days a week and that person is married and has children, you are wrong.
Absolutely.
Church is not an everyday thing.
Mm-mm.
Church is a place to come. The Bible didn't say go into the church. It says go into the world. So church is a training ground. We train you and send you out. You come to church, we feed you and send you out. That's like what we do.
I feel like we can go on and on and on and on on this topic today. I'm going to ask last question.
Okay.
And I'm going to round it up now.
Okay.
How can religion or Christian or anyhow help our mental health?
So I want to say this very, very seriously. And when it comes to mental health, right, I think that a lot of emphasis has recently been placed on mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And we must understand that Jesus was very concerned about mental health. And we saw that the Bible said when he came to the coast of Gennesaret, a man who was insane came out to him, and he addressed the man, and he casted out the demons that were within the man. And the Bible said, and the man came to himself. So mental health is one of the things that we are called to address. But you must understand that even from a spiritual perspective, the greatest of all things is love. You cannot, I repeat, you cannot talk about God to anyone if love is not the cox. Yes. And if you love someone, you cannot act in a way that violates that person's mental health. If you minister to anyone and it degrades that person, if you stand from the altar or the pulpit as a pastor and you address someone in a way that makes that person feel small, you need to repent. That's wrong. The mental health of our members is our prime.
Very important.
It's very important. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. It says, for from it flows the issues of life. That is mental health. It says, you know, so if you replace the word heart in the Bible with mind, it says, guard your mind with all diligence, because it is your mind that flows the issues of life.
That's right.
Can you do anything without a healthy mind?
No.
The Bible is telling you that a healthy mind is it.
It's a functioning mind.
Yes. In fact, it went further to say this. It says that, he said, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. We always say that, right? The idle mind is the devil's workshop. If we are saying that the idle mind is the devil's workshop, it means that the mind is very important. Mind is very important. So in church, we have a duty to protect the mind of the members. So mental health is one of our prime directives.
Thank you, Pastor. Like I said, we can go on and on, and there will still be a lot of things to talk about. But, guys, I hope you guys have enjoyed today's episode. I think we're going to have a part two of this topic another time. But thank you very much, everyone that's tuned in to Posh Beach Couch today. I hope you've enjoyed one thing or the other. You've learned and gained some valuable points in today's program. Thank you, Pastor Creamy, for answering my call. Thank you for coming on the Posh Beach Couch. I really appreciate it. And everyone at home, we'll be back here next week again, same time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., live on TikTok, live on Radio Africana. Before I go, like I said, AY Show is coming up next week, Friday, November 2nd. Buy your ticket. You will see me live there. See you guys later, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
soon. I'll do it better and I promise you. It's not even in my power and I'm telling you. Perfect everybody, yeah, this tune. Oh, mommy, we're looking for any suru. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. We're looking for a do. You know, you don't need to. I'll see you very soon. Cause I know you go cast trap, yo. If I don't get your pillow. Oh, baby, you've been on this floor. I'll see you very soon. No, suppose let me go. If you love for me, go. If I let me show you love me, characteristics of my love. Every day we go by band, no. Oh, no, no. Me, you can show a lot, oh. Oh, no, you don't need to my door. I'll see you very soon. Cause I know you go cause trouble. If I know you're your pillow. Oh, baby, we've been on this soon. I'll see you very soon.